It is Sunday morning, October 27th, and on Thursday of this week, we will be celebrating Halloween. Halloween comes out of the term Hallowed Evening. Millions of people around the world celebrate this Hallowed Evening. It comes from a Roman Catholic Church tradition that believed that on November 1st was a big day in the church. On the evening before, it was believed that the spirits of dead saints would visit, and they would bring blessing or curse. If you put out goodies or food on your porch or whatever, they would come and give you blessing. If you did not contribute, they would bring curse. So through the years, we have trick or treat, a Roman Catholic tradition. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 18 what God says about this idea of spiritism, of goblins and ghosts and spirits. 18:9 of Deuteronomy. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who can conjure spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do those things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. So this morning, we celebrate the Protestant Reformation because Martin Luther used the occasion of the hallowed evening to post his protests on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Protestant Reformation, for giving Martin Luther the bravery, the courage, the inspiration to provide this spark that burst into flame that is with us this morning. Thank you for the truths that came from that time and which are with us today, the truths in which we glory because they come from your word. Now help us this morning in this message that we may both speak and listen in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that you will be pleased to use this message to the glory and honor of your holy name for the building up of the saints and for the gospel to be understood by those who do not yet believe. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. It was on October 31st in the year 1517 that Martin Luther, a Roman Catholic monk, dissatisfied with his own soul's security, dissatisfied with what he saw in the Roman Catholic Church leadership, that he made a list of 95 grievances against the church and posted it on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. That was the spark that burst into flame in the Protestant Reformation, spread across Germany into Western Europe, and then over into the United States of America later. The Protestant Reformation. We're going to look at the text of Scripture which inspired Martin Luther. It's found in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, which Martin Luther read and studied, and upon which he meditated and changed his life. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He also looked at a passage in Galatians chapter 2 where we read that no flesh can be justified by works of the law. It was this truth, along with many other things, that led him to believe in the gospel only, and that the just shall live by faith and not by works. I think it's important for us this morning to understand the differences in the Roman Catholic Church and in the Protestant faith. I want to list several so that we have an understanding. One of the serious errors in the Roman Catholic Church is the belief in traditions in addition to the Bible as the authority for what we are to believe. One of my favorite questions in speaking to people who may not believe the gospel is to ask them, what is the authority for what you believe? And they come up with my experience or a number of things. If you ask a Roman Catholic person, they would say the Bible and church traditions. This is a most serious error. If you go beyond the Bible, the Word of God, then where do you stop? Whose traditions? When and where? So the belief in traditions or human tales or stories in addition to the Bible leads to many, many serious errors also. Here is a list of some of them. The belief that Peter is the first pope is a tradition, not a biblical revelation. Peter may or may not have ever been in Rome, and many believe he was not. But here's how it grew. The city of Rome was the most powerful, wealthy city in the world. Therefore, the pastor of the church in Rome became the most influential Christian, the most powerful, and was looked to by many people. So he became a person of influence, and it's difficult to say who those pastors were right in the beginning. There was no such thing as a pope, a one person who was the vicar of Christ or the personal representative of Christ over and above the whole body of Christ. We are all representatives of Christ. We are all ambassadors of Christ. and there is no one person vested with that authority or influence. So Peter is not the first pope. The thing that arises out of that then is called apostolic succession, that the Roman Catholic leadership tries to establish that from Peter comes his successors, and every pope is a successor of Peter, and that simply cannot be established and doesn't really matter anyway because Peter is not the first pope. The thing that arises out of that is a human priesthood. Roman Catholic Church has priests as a follow-up to the Old Testament priesthood. The Old Testament priesthood was discontinued because Christ fulfilled the priesthood. He is the great high priest of all Christians in the church. And every Christian believer is now a priest in his or her own right. The Baptists are the ones who really teach this truth to emphasize that. And today that is true. There are no earthly priests as special people because every Christian is a priest before the Lord. Now, another great problem that disturbed Martin Luther greatly is a thing called indulgences. An indulgence is a payment of money to the Roman Catholic Church which would buy or pay for the soul of a loved one to be taken out of purgatory. Now, purgatory itself is not biblical, but is a tradition that when Christians die, they go to a place called purgatory, which is not yet heaven. And in Luther's day, their pope was wanting to build St. Peter's Cathedral. So he sent out preachers across Germany and other places to preach about indulgences and take offerings, and when people gave their offering, the soul was released from purgatory. Martin Luther rose up in protest against this. Another area which we must be error, which we must beware of, is called the sacraments. The belief that the bread of the communion service and the wine of the communion service actually become the body, the flesh, and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is not true. The bread and the wine represent his body and blood, and there is no value in them at all. The value is that by faith, when we participate in the communion service, we are remembering his life and death. And to make too much of the visible symbols is an absolute biblical error. We need to be very careful about that because it's a very popular thought. Another error which cannot be allowed is the veneration of Mary. I've been driving through Santa Ana some on the way to golf, and I noticed a church being built, and I could tell by the structure that it was going to be a Roman Catholic church. And when the church was finished, I noticed the sign in front of the church. It is this: the Immaculate Heart of Mary Church. Mary did not have an immaculate heart. Mary was born of human parents and received the sin nature of her father. She is not sinless. She died as other believers, sinners, saved by grace. Christ was her Savior. She cannot answer prayer. She is not to be worshipped. And she is not to be considered a part of the Godhead. It is serious error. Another serious error which must be protested is this: that salvation is in the church. If you are in the Roman Catholic Church, you have the hope of salvation. If you are excommunicated or you are not in the church, you cannot have salvation. That is a very serious error and controls people by fear. Another area is the thought that marriage is in the church, a holy ordination. And that's why the Catholics are so adamant about marriage taking place by a priest in the church. Another error is that the Roman Catholic hierarchy forbids marriage in the priesthood. That is simply not biblical and must be protested and leads to all kinds of problems. Another error, but which is emphasized very much, is that the children must be baptized Catholic. Another area of problems is in the idea of works. Catholic people never really have assurance of salvation if they have been good enough or they have done enough good works. A part of this is saying the rosary with the beads. Have I ever done this enough or adequately? There is the confession to a priest, and which brings forgiveness of sins. There is the idea of sainthood, that some Christians, because of their good works, are elevated to sainthood above others. The word saints in the New Testament is always plural. There is no particular saint. So this is a small list. Martin Luther had 95 on his list, and so he posted that list, and it gained momentum, and we have the Protestant Reformation. Now, I want to list four or five basic truths that came out of the Reformation that are important for us this morning, truths which we hold to be biblical and vital for our Christian faith. The first one, well, we'll use the Latin terms that came out of that. The first one is sola scriptura. Sola mean only or alone, which means that the scriptures alone are the authority for what we believe and how we live. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration. The Bible is the Word of God. It alone is our authority. It alone is truth for which we must believe about our spiritual life. It is our authority. It settles every question. It settles every argument. It is our direction for life. And most of the cults have something in addition to the Bible as the authority for what they believe. The Roman Catholic Church has church traditions. Christian Science has the Church of Keys to the Scripture. The Mormons have the Book of Mormon, and so on and so on. We must stay with this. Sola Scriptura. The Bible alone is the Word of God. And other Christian writings may be wonderful, but they are not the inspired Word of God, as is the Bible. Sola Scriptura. Secondly, we have sola gratia. Gratia means grace, by grace only. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Salvation is by grace only, not by any human merit. There is a song that is sung, I am not worthy. No human being is worthy. It is by God's initiating grace, God's action of grace, that we are saved. And we must never depart from this truth. Sola gratia. By grace only. And add nothing to that. Whether it is baptism or reading the Bible or attending church or giving an offering. We are saved by grace only, with no human merit. Sola Scriptura, sola gratia. Thirdly now, sola fide, which means faith, by faith only. By faith and not by works. By faith and not by earning. Being saved by grace through faith, it means it is finished, it is established. There is nothing more we can do. And if we get into the work system, we're insulting the cross to say that the sacrifice of Christ was inadequate to bring total forgiveness of sin, and human beings must do more. Sola Scriptura. Sola gratia, sola fide. Faith is enough. The Word of God calls for faith, which is to believe and which is to trust and is that which honors God. The fourth truth that was emphasized in the great Protestant Reformation is this: sola Christos. Christ only. Christ as he is presented in the Scripture. The Son of God who became human, who became God in the flesh, who is deity. He is divine. He is as divine as is God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is human. He is the Savior. It's interesting that as we use the word cults, and we see other groups arising claiming to be Christian, there is one vital point that separates us from the cults. And that is what we believe about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have met some wonderful people, neighbors who were in the cults. They have fine families, they're good people, but they are in serious error in what they believe about Christ. Not accepting him as divine, not accepting him as God, believing that even Jesus himself had to do good works. So if the Lord God has blessed you with believing in the Bible only, in grace only, in faith only, and in Christ only, be very thankful about that in your heart, and be careful to discern truth from error, and not only believe those things, but to live them out today. And for parents, to be very, very sure that you are teaching these truths to your children, so that they in turn can teach them to their children, and to carry out these truths that came to us hundreds of years ago. Out of the Protestant Reformation, and these truths really began in the early church, were lost through the Middle Ages, but came to life again in that great time. May God help us today to live out these truths and not fall into these serious errors. Heavenly Father, thank you for illuminating us with light and truth, and for giving us convictions for which we live and die. Help us in these days to carry out the great truths of the apostles and those truths which came through the Reformation, and to cause our testimony to be living and influential in these serious days. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.